What's coming to movie theaters this spring? Well, each season, MLive's John Serba offers his thoughts on soon-to-be-released films. This week, he shared his most and least anticipated movies of the spring season with Current State's Emmanuel Berry.
What does it mean to be a spring movie?
Someone was arguing with me on Facebook, like, it's not spring yet. And I was like, well, the movie, see, you know, it's Hollywood and it's different.
So there isn't quite a definite term for a spring movie then.
No, not really. I mean, you know, Hollywood summer starts in May, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, with all the big blockbusters. So it's they're very loose definitions.
So a movie which some people seem to be really excited about, and by that I mean my friend from high school who explained to me several times this weekend that I must go see this movie, Divergent, which have never really heard of, never read the books. It seems to be kind of walking along the Twilight, Hunger Games tightrope. You have this on your most anticipated list. Is it going to fill the void that Twilight left in your heart?
This actually, Divergent feels more like Hunger Games light a little bit, because you have the female protagonist, and it's Shailene Woodley, who seems like she might be on kind of a similar career track as Jennifer Lawrence. So then obviously it takes place in the future. It's this kind of dystopian thing, and she's sort of a chosen one type figure, and so Summit is the studio behind it, who no longer have the Twilight cash cow from before, and so they're working real hard to make this the next kind of franchise for them. These kind of teen book series translations can be real hit or miss. The Hunger Games and Twilight and Harry Potter are the big ones, and the other ones are kind of like, does anybody remember the Spiderwick Chronicles? No. which they tried to launch several years back during the same time of year, during quote unquote spring. And so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how Divergent plays out. Like I said, Shailene Woodley, really good. She's probably got an Oscar in her future. You know, we saw her in The Descendants. Kate Winslet is in a supporting role. There's kind of a generic guy love interest in this, played by some generic looking fellow. We'll see if, you know, and there's a big push recently to sell tickets in advance, buy your tickets in advance. And you know when that happens that they're trying to make it the next, you know, major Hollywood franchise. We'll see what happens, though.
Wes Anderson has another offering for us this spring, The Grand Budapest Hotel. First, break down the plot for us, because from the preview, I'm totally confused as to what's going on. There's a lot of people in this film.
We could fill the entire segment here just naming who's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
And it's essentially Ralph Fiennes, not Ralph, Ralph.
Also runs known as Lord Voldemort. Sorry. He's always Lord Voldemort to me. He will never be anything else.
Oh, so many other things.
I know, but I can't help it. I'm ruined. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
He's like the... I don't know if hotel concierges can be legendary, but that's the word that's being bandied about around his character. And I guess in the Wes Anderson world, I guess he can be. You know, it's kind of his story. It's a post-war European hotel, and there are any number of eccentric guests in eccentric-looking rooms. And the story, are we really that concerned about the story? We just want to see these people arranged in Wes Anderson's meticulous, symmetrical shots with all the crazy, detailed background set design and production and all that kind of stuff. Adrian Brody, Willem Dafoe, Jeff Goldblum, Harvey Keitel, Jude Law, Bill Murray, Edward Norton, Saoirse Ronan, Tilda Swinton, of course. So there's some Wes Anderson mainstays in there and a few new ones. This opened last week in four theaters across the country, and it's already done $1 million.
All right, so we have from the director of Black Swan and The Wrestler, a film of biblical proportions, like literally of biblical proportions. Aronofsky has taken on the story of Noah, and for me, this just screams bomb.
Aronofsky doesn't really make bad movies. He makes all of his films are very ambitious, and some of them are ambitious failures. We'll see. I mean, this is the first time that anyone has handed him a whole bunch of money and said, make this, like, grand, giant, big screen epic. So it's not only, you know, a weird kind of, well, the story of Noah's Ark, what? and it's not one of those faith-based movies that basically exists to preach its own kind of message. And we'll kind of see how well he kind of courts any of that type of audience. I don't see him doing it, to be honest. So it may be a failure to that niche. And it's very likely it may be a failure to everybody because you just have this, what looks like a train wreck of CG and Russell Crowe bellowing and lots of water. And it could be, you know, kind of an impressive spectacle, or it could be a complete train wreck, and so that has the wanna see factor high, and as far as I'm concerned,
just want to know where it goes.
Yes, we want to see what happens.
All right, so probably one of the most unquestionable movies that a lot of people are anticipating is Captain America: The Winter Soldier, and the first Captain America was campy. It was a lot of nostalgia, not a lot of flash, but I kind of liked it that way because that's what Captain America is. He is he's Captain America, plain and simple. He is Cap. But this movie looks a little different from the first one. What are you expecting?
You know, it's hard to get too excited. I temper my enthusiasm for all these Marvel movies when you look at the person who's directing it and you go, who? And that's something that kind of is a concern, because at least, you know, the first Thor movie was directed by Kenneth Branagh, and I think it was Joe Carnahan who directed the first Captain America. These are well-established directors, and now they're bringing on newcomers as if, like, let's maximize our profits. And so that's my biggest concern with this. But, you know, if they'll maintain that kind of gee whiz, look at Captain America, he's a virgin kind of thing of the last one, it's not. It's set in the modern day.
Yes.
I thought the first one was really solid, you know. I mean, it's firmly, like, in the top, you know, 10 Marvel movies, top 5 maybe. I don't know. I don't think anybody has really handled these characters very well since the Avengers movie came out, because that like hit all the perfect notes with all these characters. And so everything has been a bit of a letdown since then because Joss Whedon kind of set the bar pretty high. My point being, I temper my enthusiasm. I am cautiously optimistic. That's my life philosophy anyway, so.
I think it's a good one to have when approaching Avengers, so.
For sure.
All right, so we've run down some of the highlights of your anticipated list, which is on MLive, but there are several spring films that you're not as excited to see. You're going to see them still, but maybe grab some extra snacks to keep yourself occupied. So first, let's touch on Tyler Perry's Single Mother's Club. And I am not a fan of Tyler Perry. In fact, every single time I go home at TBS or BET, my dad is sitting there watching a Tyler Perry film, and I really don't want to ever have to see this one. So apparently you don't really want to either.
Well, I haven't seen every Tyler Perry film, but the ones I have seen are inept. He always struggles with the kind of tonal transition from comedy to drama. he's not he's a very visually boring director to watch. So it's just kind of, you know, if they're, I'm almost to the point where when I look ahead at a season of what's opening and I go, Adam Sandler, no, Tyler Perry, avoid it like the plague, 10-foot poles all around when you approach that one. He's done that kind of You Go Girl type stuff before. He did Four Colored Girls a few years ago, which was a very well-meaning movie, but I don't think he conveyed his message very well. Single Moms Club is going to be a little lighter in tone, I'm sure, because it's comedic, and Four Colored Girls was a little heavier subject matter wise. So you have to go, at least he's, you know, doing what Hollywood isn't necessarily doing very well, which is giving solid roles to female protagonists in movies. And so I'm sure there's well-meaning motivation behind making this movie, but we'll see if he can execute it without relying on the same old cliches, yeah. Which I'm very, very much worried that he will do.
Well, I hate to end on a downer, so why don't you give us one more film from your most anticipated list? Maybe something that we wouldn't expect to see.
How about let's go with Sabotage.
Really? I said not,
you know,
a downer.
Sabotage. Let's face it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, since he is no longer in politics, he's come back to movies. A little over a year ago, he did a movie called The Last Stand, which kind of, you know, it was a riff on everything that he's done before. But he doesn't take himself very seriously anymore. And I think that's really good. I think that's an interesting stage of his career where he, you know, he's... he can be in an action comedy and be light on his feet. I mean, with a guy who you know, basically has a 20-pound weight wrapped around his tongue because of his whole because of his accent. And so anyway, he did this movie called The Last Stand last year in January, which I thought was a lot of fun, actually. And then he did Escape Plan with Sylvester Stallone, which was a horrible movie, but he was. That was another one where he was like, I think I'm going to play this a little tongue-in-cheek, and everybody else took it seriously, and so he kind of stood out. He plays a DEA agent running around with a machine gun, and it's like, let's see if he can kind of keep this this role going where maybe he can forge a second plateau on his career and do something interesting, you know. And this movie is there's a real director behind this movie, Sabotage, David Ayer. He did End of Watch, which was pretty well received, and Harsh Times with Christian Bale a few years ago. So we'll see if Arnold still has it, you know. And I don't see it being a big blockbuster and making hundreds of millions, but I see it might actually, there's a small chance it might be interesting to watch, you know, an entertaining movie, in a potentially, you know, maybe it's a creative endeavor for Arnold. We'll see.
John, always the optimist. John Serba is an entertainment reporter and film critic for MLive and the Grand Rapids Press. I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon, right before summer blockbusters come out. John, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
For Current State, I'm Emmanuel Berry.